It's, I find in John a good brother, a kingdom-minded person.
What I want to do is share with you some things that I just have been saying, God, why am I here? And I just want to share with you that this is the process that God is bringing to all of us in this new covenant. That we walk in purposeful ways. We know why we're doing what we're doing. That we're not just doing things because this is the way we've always done them. But we're being purposeful and we're hearing the Spirit of God. Jesus said, I don't do anything unless I hear the Father tell me to do it. I don't speak anything unless I've heard the Father speak it in His presence. And I just want to speak a few things over this church. God is raising up a people in Virginia Beach that will build the kingdom intentionally. Just want to speak over this house. I believe that you're not in a period of transition, but you're in a period of transformation. Do you know the difference between transition and transformation? Transition is what's happening around you. Transformation is what's happening in you. I want to encourage you, let God move the furniture around this year. What God's doing, I believe, here is that He's building a presence-based community, a community that reveals the presence of God. Jesus taught His disciples to pray. He said, let it be on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven, that's a whole new reality. And let me tell you, if God shows up, you don't have to worry about the people. I want to say that again.
Amen. Amen.
If God shows up at the meeting, you don't have to worry about people coming.
Amen.
Jesus said, if we're gathered in His name, and it doesn't just mean we say His name, but if we're gathered in His name, He's there among us. God is in the season of transformation right now. There's a scripture that reads, don't conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. God is shifting things. Your mind is the part of you that makes decisions and does things. God is shifting in this time. He's shifting mindsets. Don't build a church. Don't put together a church that will be a good community church. I believe what the Lord is saying. I'm going to read this because I felt the Lord. I don't want to say the Lord told me, but this is what I'm sensing. That God is raising up a people that will build intentionally. A community that looks directly to Jesus. The calling of this church is to belong to Jesus. Let me say that again. God is calling you to be with Him, to belong to Him, and then to be the bride of Christ. That's the primary calling of the church. And then to be a community church. Everything that God is doing in Lansdowne now will be built on friendship.
Come on now.
Will be built on friendship. Friendship with God, closer, closer, closer. Friendship with one another, closer, closer. Because He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. The church is disintegrating. It's going away. The church as we know it is changing. 2/3 of believers don't even attend church anymore. Do you know why? It's broken.
Yep.
It's broken. The way we've been doing the 70-minute meeting on a Sunday morning, it's changing, folks. God's creating a community that loves Him, that seeks His face, that draws close to Him, that's the bride of Christ first, and then out of that love relationship reveals His character to the world. God is calling you, first of all, to be the bride of Christ. God is calling Restoration Lansdowne to be the bride of Christ. the transformation that's happening, it's a metamorphosis. He's transforming you like an earthbound caterpillar to a heavenbound butterfly. I saw this picture of a caterpillar, and the caterpillar crawls on the ground, and it can only go a few inches in an hour, but a butterfly goes anywhere at once. God's in the midst of revealing what it means to be a transformed community. And then I want to just say one last thing. Keep your love on. It's real important right now to just keep your love on. There's a primary calling in the Word of God is to love. Now, there's a lot of transition, a lot of things that are shifting. But I want to encourage you, in all that shifting, choose to love. Amen.
But I'm thankful for PK and for the time we lived in Florida, took us in, taught us a lot, be there for us, send us to Haiti, being there for us, went to Haiti. I mean, it's amazing. So God bless him for being faithful. And
It's a privilege for Nancy and myself to be with you again. I'm proud of you guys. I'm proud of you and Ricardo and Kendra and family, but I'm proud of you. You haven't given up, and you haven't backed down. And I look over this group, and I see some of you, you know, we need to continue to grow. We need to continue because some of you don't have the same energy that you once had. You're not ready to stop. But one of the things I've noticed, I have young adults, four children now. One's 28, one's 25. You know what? They have a lot more energy than I do. Hallelujah. And it's energy that the kingdom needs. You know, you guys have wisdom that the kingdom needs. They have energy. Ricardo gave me 30 minutes. I'm going to take 20. Because I'm hungry. Hallelujah. All right. So you heard it here. If there's a title this morning, I have a challenge for you guys. And the Lord added. How many of you want the Lord to add? Before you answer, think about it a little bit. Because as the Lord adds people to your number, it's going to change who you are. It's going to change your character. It's going to change how you function. And so if you really don't want to change, you really don't want to grow. But here's the problem. If you don't change, if you don't grow, nobody stays the same. We all just kind of atrophy and you decline. And so there needs to be change to healthy. I'm going to say something that maybe you haven't heard before, that as a church, the church is the greatest evangelistic tool there is. Now, when I say that, I don't mean the programs or the service of the church. How many of you know that you are the church? And what Pastor John was talking about as being a people of his presence, of being as you participate in that. You know, I would have a further challenge than Ricardo. Ricardo challenged Dan and Roxy to spend 1 hour a week here seeking his presence. I'm going to challenge each and every one of you to come to the sanctuary 1 hour a week and spend their time praying. Why do you have to do that? You don't have to do that. You can pray at home. But the question is, do you? All right? And what I've found is that when you set aside time and you set aside a place and you make an appointment, if you will, with God, that you come and you do that, and when you're here, maybe there's nobody else in the building. So you can't get caught up talking to somebody except for God. And you can't, you know, and come if you have a husband, wife, you don't have to come together, but you can come together, you know. But come for the purpose of prayer. And I think you're going to find that That's going to be an important thing as you establish that kind of time. And you say, well, you know what? We have to drive an hour to get here. Yeah, okay. Some of you do. And what I would do is I'd incorporate that into an evening. You know, you drive a half hour and stop and eat somewhere, and then you come. Or you come and you spend your hour in prayer, and then you go out to dinner. I mean, you can incorporate some fun into this. Does that make sense? Tanya has been doing this for how long at Sarasota? Like years. 15 years. And she comes. She's a worship leader. She comes. She plays on Tuesday mornings from 10 to 12. And sometimes there's people that come, but most of the time I think, I'm not always there, very rarely there actually, but it's like, it's just her and the Lord. It's made a difference in her life. It's made a difference in her and John's life. But it lays a foundation for the congregation. Because now you're hosting the presence of God. It's really, how many of you know that the church is supposed to be about God? Is that a novel thought? So anyway, I digress. I used 5 minutes of my 20. You are the people. You are the church. It's about you. One of the things I travel sometimes, I was traveling between here and Florida, stopped in a place called Dunn, North Carolina. All right, there's really not much there. It's in between Rocky Mount and Fayetteville. And I stopped and stayed in a hotel there one night. And I went to a, I'm not going to name the name, okay? I went to a fast food place for dinner. Okay, I walk into this place. It is fine. It's the outside is clean. It's up to date. I walk into this place, and there's maybe three people in there, and there's probably six people behind the counter, and they're talking to one another. So I walk up to the register there, and nobody says anything. I'm just standing there, and they're 5 feet away, talking. Talking. And so I stand there. You know how awkward that is? I mean, you just kind of stand there. And they had no intent. They saw me. I saw them. They looked at me and ignored me. And this is not an exaggeration. 10 minutes. There were four other people that came into the same fast food place, stood in line behind me, and they ignored them too. So I gave my order finally. I mean, you know, and I wait. These people are not in any hurry. I mean, to use the term fast food is not right, okay? And so finally I get my order. I think, wow, you know, I've been here for 27 minutes. And I just, okay. And so by the time I, and so anyway, okay. So 6 months later, I came back through again, stayed in the same place because I liked the hotel there. I went to the same fast food. I'm thinking, you know what, maybe that was just a bad day. I walk into the place. There's three people. You know how people, after they give their order, they kind of stand back here and they're kind of waiting for people. And I'm thinking, and you know, and again, it's like nobody is paying attention. Nobody really cares. And I turned and said, how long have you been waiting on your order? And the guy looked at his, about 20 minutes. Because, you know, once you pay, you're not going to walk out without your order, you know. I thought, man, I don't want to do this again. I turned around, went to the gas station beside, just got some chips, and I said, that's my dinner. And so I gave it one more chance, and the same thing happened. Now, when people come to join your group, you are the church. You represent Christ. You represent his love. You represent his acceptance. You represent his honor. You're a messenger of forgiveness. You're a people of his presence. So act like it. You see, people will come. This can be a, I mean, hey, I know, not because I'm here all the time, but I know that there's new people that come into this place. The question is, do they come back? And they will come back not because you have the greatest worship and not because pastor is the best preacher there ever was. I mean, generally, people will come back because they feel cared for or because they feel welcomed, because they sense the presence of Jesus in you is reaching out to the presence of Jesus in them or wants to reach out to the presence of Jesus in them. That's why they're going to come back. They're going to come back because you take them under your wings. They're going to come back because you give them a relationship that matters. It takes time. It takes energy. I am not going to in any way minimize this at all, but this is the work of the kingdom of God. It's relational. It's powerful. And it spreads as you and I, one-on-one, relate to another individual, another family. The early church focused on four different things, and all of these things are important. The first one was truth. It was the truth of Jesus. Acts 2:36 says, Peter is preaching here. He comes to the close. He gives an invitation. He says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. The early church was focused on Jesus, the truth of who he is, but also the truth of the gospel. In that prayer or in that sermon, Peter says, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God, by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know him, being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, that you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Ricardo, I'm going to challenge you. Focus on Jesus. Don't get away from that. You know, and we can talk about other aspects of life, that's true, but there's power when we focus on the gospel, the good news that Jesus lived and he died and was resurrected for me and for you and for those that are going to come. The greatest miracle that you can see is when someone comes from death to life, when they come from the world into the kingdom of God, when they come from darkness into the presence of his light in their life. That is one of the, and you see the transformation begin to happen. And you and I are called to be a part of that transformation. We're to be the messengers. So stay focused on Jesus, who he is, on what he did. And the early church called people to this truth. It says in verse 38, Peter said to them then, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all those who are far off, as many as the Lord were called. They were called to repentance. That means to turn from their ways. It means they act differently. Repentance doesn't just something that you just say to the Lord. It's something you do with your life. Repentance, if you're going down a road that is not the way God would have you to go, you turn and you stop going that way. You turn the car around and you go the different direction. Does that make sense? So he called them, Peter called them to repentance. He called them to be baptized. He said, get yourself immersed in the water and come up, and they are called to receive the Holy Spirit. Each of us have been called to receive the Holy Spirit. If you have not ever been baptized in the Holy Spirit, this is your year. I would say today is the day, but I only have 10 minutes and I'm hungry. But one of the things that I had to do when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I was not an emotional kind of person. I was more, I want to seek this out. And I would encourage you, if you have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, begin to seek the Holy Spirit. Amen. Begin to say, Holy Spirit, I've been hearing about you for years. I want to experience you. And see where he'll lead you. Because he wants to reveal himself to you. But that was what Peter was preaching. to repent, to be baptized, to be called the Holy Spirit. Now, the second thing they focused on was the Holy Spirit. The early church focused on the Holy Spirit. Verse 43 says, then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. In other words, there were demonstrations, supernatural demonstrations of God's presence. That's what brings the life to the group. If you come to this meeting on a Sunday morning and you know exactly what to expect every single time, I don't know about you, I'm going to get bored pretty quickly. We're going to sing the same three songs. We're going to hear the same 20-minute sermon. We're going to hear the same five announcements. Big deal. But if I come to the Lord, if I come to church and somebody begins to prophesy over me and tell me what is going to happen, and then it comes to place and happens, or if somebody begins to come and I see somebody come to the Lord here, you never know what's going to happen. All of a sudden, God begins to do things that you may not expect, and there's a little bit like you can't control. Have you ever been in a meeting where the pastor gets up front and he says, you right there in the red dress, and he prophesies over somebody? Do you know what happens to the whole rest of the audience? They're like, am I next? What did I do? You know what? I really messed up 2 days ago. I sinned. I better confess really quick so that the guy doesn't call me out next. I mean, you know. And you have this dynamic. The thing is, God begins to move. Because you focused on him, because you're focused on the truth, because you're focused on the Holy Spirit. There's a demonstration of the power of God. But there's also, as a part of the Holy Spirit, there's signs of new life. It says they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. See, there was supernatural evidence not only in the signs and the wonders, which are great, but there was supernatural evidence in the people, in you, in me. We're different, and it shows. If you look like everybody else in the world, I question your salvation. I'm not saying you ain't saved, but I'm questioning it. Why? Because you're not displaying the demonstration of the power and the fruit of God in your life. And you can't make fruit happen. And so this may be a year of you looking at yourself saying, wait a minute, okay, am I really where God wants me to be? Because there's a tendency in all of us that we go for a certain amount and we sit down and we say, I'm going to rest now. And, you know, a little bit of time becomes a long amount of time. And all of a sudden we find ourselves a couple of years in and we've just given up. We've checked out. We've said, why? And God wants to reestablish his purpose and his presence in each of your lives. The third thing they focused on was community. It says that they were in one accord. That means that they were together. They were like-minded. They had one vision. They were all coming together around that vision. It says they continued daily, Acts 2:46, with one accord. Everyone bought in. No one was doing their own thing. No one was bringing their own agenda into the church saying, well, you know, I know this is what's going on. This is the way leadership is leading. But I really think we need to go over here and do this. If you really think you need to go over there and do something totally different from what the church is doing, go. But don't ask everybody else to go. See, a lot of times what we want to do is, if we think we should be doing something, then everybody should be doing it, and that's not necessarily true. We're uniquely gifted. We have a unique call. And God may call you to give leadership to something that isn't supposed to be part of this community. Does that make sense? They were unified. When I was 19, I committed my life to the Lord, and at a Second Chapter of Acts concert, within about 3 weeks, I was on my way to a place called Spruce Lake Wilderness Retreat in the Pocono Mountains of Pennsylvania, eastern part of Pennsylvania. The thing that really stands out to me about that whole experience was that there were about 30 staff members. And out of those 30 staff members, everybody that was gathered there for that particular summer Nobody knew anybody else except for like one person. They all had maybe one relationship, but there wasn't like people knew 10 people or 12 people. So everybody started relationally at the same place. In the first week, we got the camp ready for kids, and we worked together, and we had to join forces. But what happened during that summer was we experienced a community of believers gathered around the purpose that God had set us apart for. Do you know how powerful that is? When everybody is at one accord, when they're together, they're like-minded, we're focused on the ministry, we're focused on the kids that are coming, and there were some kids. Took all of us individually doing our part, but doing it together. That's the way of the kingdom of God. We come together. They were together in the early church daily. Now swallow hard on that one. I'm not saying that we need to come together daily, but I am going to say you need to come together consistently. And it needs to be more than just on a Sunday morning, if possible. We live really busy lives. I get it. But, you know, I would encourage you, if you can spend an hour here in the sanctuary praying, worshiping. Worship is prayer, by the way. Okay? If you can spend a time in a small group on a weekly basis, if you can spend time in this service, you're following the pattern that the early church followed. So they cared for one another. It says, all who believed were together, had all things in common, sold their possessions and goods, divided them among all as anyone had need. In other words, they looked out for each other's needs. It wasn't that they sold everything necessarily and just put it all together and lived communally. It's like you had your job, they had their job, they come together and said, hey, you know what, Joe over here, he lost his job, he needs some food, let's go get him some groceries for the next week. It's just simply meeting needs. Do you realize how powerful that is? Now, see, here's something else that they did, though. It wasn't just the group that they had. See, God began to add to their number 3,000 people. So the original 120 becomes 3,000 in a day. You know what? You may not have been a leader when you were part of the 120, but when you're part of the 3,120, you become a leader. Because you know a little bit more than the people who just came. And you see, every single one of you in this room need to step up and realize that you're a leader in the kingdom of God. That you're a leader in this community. Whether you feel like it or not, whether you see yourself as that way or not, you are. Why? Because God's going to add to your number. And when God adds to your number, he's going to need people that can mentor and coach and be spiritual moms and dads for those people that are coming. And you may be 28 years old, and you're going to be a spiritual father or a spiritual mother to somebody who's 63. Do you know why? Because you're older than that person is in the Lord. Now, you'll need to adjust things. You've got to respect people that have the experience. But understand, it's going to take all of us, each and every one of the persons in this room. See, they cared for those who joined them. They accepted others into the group. That's going to be your biggest hurdle. It started out, this group started out, I'm speaking prophetically, but I'm pretty sure I'm right, that it started out, this group started out as you embraced new people and brought them into your family, so to speak. But the same thing has to happen now. You begin to bring them into your family. And the fourth thing that they did, they focused on the truth, they focused on the Holy Spirit, they focused on their community, and they focused on a system. It was a very simple system, but we need a system. It says they devoted themselves to four things: the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to eating together, and to prayers. And prayers, I believe, include worship and prayer. It says they met together in the temple courts, large group, and house to house, small group. It's not really a heavy, structured, administrative thing. It's relational. It's meeting together, doing these things. It was a basic structure to what was happening. Large group in the temple, small group in the homes. But here's the key. It was expandable. It was expandable. Why? Because you can take a small group and start with six and be 16. But then you have to multiply that small group so that you become six again. But now there's a new six giving leadership. And one of the things, it's again, it's a hurdle. It's being willing to allow the Holy Spirit to expand your ministry so that you can be in where God wants you to be. The result of this lifestyle, and it was a lifestyle, it's just what they did. They didn't do it for a season. It was who they were. The Lord added to the church daily to those who were being saved. Acts 2:47. Notice that it was the Lord that added. We can do our part. We need to do our part. But ultimately, if the Lord doesn't add, it's not going to happen. And my challenge here to you as the Lansdowne congregation, as Restoration Church at Lansdowne, is to be a people like this, to be a people of the early church, to proclaim the truth of Jesus. Don't get too far away from him. To demonstrate the Holy Spirit. Do you realize that you can lay hands on the sick and see them recover? That you can be a messenger and an instrument of deliverance. That you can be a person that God uses to bring transformation to another life. Each and every one of you in this place. But you have to step out and actually do something. You can't just step back and say, oh, well, you know, yeah, I believe that. Well, if you really believe it, then step out in faith. It's not faith until you actually step out and do something. Now, does that mean that you walk into the restaurant that you go to this evening and you grab the waitress's arm and says, I'm going to pray for you whether you like it or not? No. Be smart. Be normal. But just in your daily lives, you carry the presence of God. Use the opportunities that present themselves. And God, if you're willing, if you're available, God will present those opportunities. Commit to one another. Commit to those who will join you. Unify around a simple system. You are the church. Together, unified, immobilized, and mobilized. You are the force for the kingdom of God in Virginia Beach. And so today we celebrate a name change. But I also, and I've heard it here, different threads, but I've heard it here, it's a new day. Transition is done. Transformation, and I'm not even going to say has begun. Transformation is happening. It's in process. And so I want you to accept a new commitment to the ministry. Not to be a pastor necessarily, although God may call some of you, but to the ministry of the power and the presence of God in your life as he brings those opportunities. So let's stand together. I encourage, challenge you to use your gifts for the kingdom and for each other. I challenge you to love and to accept and forgive and honor not only those in this room, but also those that God will bring you. And so I want everybody just to hold your hands out, just kind of in front of you like this with your palms up. Father, I pray that you will pour out your spirit upon this place. Lord, that from today forward, that this group, this church, this group of your sons and daughters, Lord, would experience you adding to their number daily, regularly, consistently to those who are being saved and discipled and mentored and released into the things of the kingdom, your kingdom, Father. I pray, Father, that your anointing will be upon this place. Father, we dedicate this place in your name, that as Restoration Church at Lansdowne, it will be a place and a people of restoration at Lansdowne. That it will be an open well, Lord. That it will be a stream, a river, Lord. And that as you flow in and through this people, Lord, that many lives will be changed and touched and transformed because of your ministry. Not only in us, we thank you for that ministry, but Lord, through us. So flow through this place, Lord, in increasing measure in Jesus' name. I pray your anointing to rest upon Ricardo and Kendra as they lead this congregation. Give them wisdom. Let your anointing be heavy upon them, that, Lord, you would be glorified in and through them. We thank you now for them in Jesus' name. Let it be so, and let it be done. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.